asked you, who's really bad in directions? Finding your way with a map, with a carta. I'm very bad. I just get lost. And what I find out is, I don't get lost on purpose. What means on purpose? And mostly I don't even know when I'm lost. I just keep on going, like Ananda Gopal, with full strength. And I somehow think, somehow I will get to the destination. Now this very human thing, I want to talk about this today. Because today I want to present to you a very important principle of spiritual life. And that is that the path you choose always determines where you get. And very often it happens that we choose the wrong path, and then we end up at a place in our life where we absolutely did not want to end up. Now, the interesting thing is, while we are going in our direction, we somehow hope it will work. Somehow we will get there where we want to go. Because we don't know the simple principle, we could call it the principle of the path. We know it when we go hiking or when we drive with a car from, you know, through Germany, that the direction or the path which we have chosen brings us to our destination. But we somehow do not know to apply this in our real life. And therefore, often we think, well, I have a good intention. I'm a good person. I want the right thing. But we don't get there because the means or the path or the way which we have chosen just doesn't bring us where we want to go. And I have an example which I want to share with you, which totally shocked me. It was maybe 7 years ago, when I lived in the jungle in South India for 2 weeks. I had a study project. I wanted to learn one of the many Gitas in our scriptures, the Uddhava Gita, and I had given myself 2 weeks to do this. I was reading this part of the Bhagavatam every day for, I think, like 5 hours or so, and making notes. But then Ekadasi came, where I decided, now I don't want to read any longer. I just want to go to some place in the jungle and chant all day, like I always wanted to do when I was a boy. Now it was my chance. I asked someone, is there a nice place in the jungle? And the person said, yes, I take you there. And we walked for about 25 minutes or half an hour, and we had a beautiful, beautiful place. You know, it was a wonderful hut, you know, like you think in all. Like Robinson Crusoe must have had such a hut. And there was a palm tree, and it was a little high. Sometimes I saw snakes, but they would not come up to where I was sitting. So I was safe and protected, and my rounds were just very good. I was chanting. And then I saw the sun was going down. I said, one more round. I chanted one more round, and then the sun was going more down. And something in me told me, Sachinandan Swami, you better stop now and try to and get home, because once it gets dark here, you won't find your way. But I thought, no, it's all right. I'm a very experienced man, and directions is my strength. I never get lost, usually. You know, my mind went in. I think Sundarananda knows this aspect of the mind also. You know, it convinces us to be on the right path, and you know, and I was... just chanting, and I was thinking, well, this is the best yogic experience in my life, and I'm chanting one more round. Finally, I thought, maybe I should just go after this round. And when I was thinking this, I heard, ooh, a wolf. I said, okay, I finish this round and then I really go. You know, if the wolves start coming, I mean, this is not safe in the jungle. So I got up, then I went down this one hill, and I knew soon there must be the path which goes to the right, or was it to the left? I mean, it was the right, 100%. And I was going down, and finally I found the path, and I went to the right. Then I heard two, and another one, he was a little young, you know. I said, maybe it was the path to the left. I better go to the left, you know. And then I went to the level. Then I thought, okay, this looks very familiar to me. I'm very, very sure this is the right thing. I think I just need now to go a little bit down the hill, and then I meet this other path which goes to the right. And after half an hour like this, I was completely lost in the Indian jungle. The sun was setting, and by now there were four voices. And it was clear they were communicating. And I knew the subject of the communication was Sachinandan Swami. I just knew it. It had my name in it, and you know, Niemetschka, he's from Germany, and you know, I could hear everything. They were really after me. And then, for the first time in my life, I did remember. It's not enough if I have a good intention to get home. I need to have the right path which brings me there. And it was very clear to me. And I began to prepare for this lecture which I'm giving you now. We will visit my desperate situation in maybe 15 minutes. And I will tell you what happened. But for now, I just want to ask you a question. Where do you want to go in your life? What is your ideal life? What is really most important for you? Then I want to ask you the question, are you sure that what you are presently doing, Damayanti, will bring you there? This is a good question, isn't it? Are you on the right path, Lemo? Govindanandan, have you chosen the right path? I know your intention is wonderful. You all want to become a Svetisavat. saintly people, self-realized soul, Irena, in this life, and you know, you're preparing since many years. But are you having the right things in your mind? I find in this world there is a huge disconnection between what we want to attain in our life and what we are doing to go there. I find this is maybe the biggest problem which we have. We all have a right intention. Intention, how do we say this? Yes. But our path is not always very, 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 very right. Now, I would like to give you an example. For instance, many of us would like to be healthy. At least I would like to be healthy. But now health is a product of a mixture of exercises, right food, and the right habits in our life. Often I have impossible habits. I go to bed at 2:30 in the night. Then I usually am hungry at that time because I had no time for eating the whole day. Yesterday I ate at 2. No, that was. When did we say goodbye? At 11:30. Then I came home. Then I didn't want to sleep. I wanted to read. And then I was hungry at 1 o'clock. And what was there? Marzipan made by Raja Lilavati. It's the most heavy food you can imagine for someone who wants to be healthy, and you shouldn't eat it at 1 o'clock in the night. And I was hungry and I ate a ton of marzipan. And then this morning I woke up and I already, when I was just like this, I was thinking, oh, something is not right in the stomach. Krishna, it must be the marzipan, you know. And I woke up and I had a stomach like you have in India. You know this stomach, Limo? It's a very embarrassing stomach, you know. You know the stomach, you know, it's really not the best stomach. And again I noticed the path which I had taken didn't bring me to perfect health. Another example. We all like to have good, loving relationships, right? But often we are so interested in our projects and we put all our energy in the projects which we want to make. We run around the whole day and we do... We work on our projects and we give it a nice name, Shluchpa, service, and then we think we have excellent, and when we live in the temple or live in the congregation of devotees, we never have time to sit and talk and do something, walk together through the forest and, you know, and just talk about life and so on. And we expect first class loving relationships to happen in 20 minutes in a week. The Bhakti Sangha at Lemo. At Lemo's apartment. That should take care of everything. We are very often, knowing about that we must choose the right path. When it comes to traveling to Germany or to India, Ali, we are very foolish when it comes to our life, health, relationships, a good situation. And we are also very foolish when it comes to our spiritual life. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur addresses us, not the old scriptures addresses us. How can you obtain something which lies in the east, Suvarnabindu, by taking the path which leads you to the West. How can you obtain this? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why do we keep on going in a life on the path which doesn't bring us to our fulfillment? Why do we keep on going and running in that direction and don't do it? Some ideas are there, Bhagavanandini?
Our habits
are there. Lemo, the question is, why do we keep on going in our lives in directions which don't really bring us where we want to go? And Bhagavanandini said, it's the power of habits. Any other answer?
The power of Maya.
The power of Maya. Wow, illusion, yes. That's a powerful power.
False ego.
I'm right. I'm extremely right. You know, how could I be wrong? It's not possible. Any other explanation?
Fear.
Fear. Fear of what?
Siamasaki? Fear of actually the spiritual path that we want to go. We are not sure
but what will happen to us. Yeah. That's an uncertainty. Is there another type of fear which keeps us from changing our ways and going in the right direction? I think you said something, Elena. Fear of change. Or yeah. Biljana said. Yes.
Weaknesses.
Anattas.
Attachments to the way how we live.
Old attachments to the way we live.
So-called comfort zone.
Our so-called comfort zone. My God, there's many things which hold us around. What?
Ignorance.
Just ignorance. Yeah. All these things which you have mentioned are what is called in Sanskrit prayers. Prayers means, it's different from shreyas. Shreyas is a long-term benefit, but prayers is often something which you feel gives me immediate benefit. For instance, staying with our own habits in our old comfort zone. A typical example of prayers was last evening, I ate this ton of marzipan and it was tasting so good. I also felt great satisfaction that I broke my diet without anyone seeing it. Somehow I was a little rebellious in my life. I like to change my life and create no rules in my life. It's somehow a habit in me. We think by doing this there is some short-term benefit. Also, the human being always fears change so much, you know. He feels, if I change this, and then I'm not in control. I don't know what will happen here in my life. Now, shreyas is different. When you are in shreyas, in that mood, you think very deeply and you read scriptures about, mostly it's a spiritual goal, and then in order to reach that spiritual goal, you invest in this every day with some proper, how do you say this? With some proper action. Usually these these long-term beneficial goals, how do we say long-term beneficial goals? You have to invest a little bit in them. Yeah. For instance, if I want to learn something or want to know something, I have to go to the school and just learn and learn and learn. Or if if Lema wants to make a first class theater production with the actors, he really has to help the actors to bring them into a new place where they can bring out the best in them. You know, it requires a certain type of sacrifice. Or if we want to make a perfect health, you know, we have to do every day these exercises, which is not easy. When I had this back pain, there is a series of exercises which when you do them for 2.5 days, you are free from all pain. However, these exercises are just more painful than the pain. They are really intense. Gaura Hari doesn't have any faith in these exercises because he's a young man, you know, and when he sees someone suffering with these exercises, he thinks, how can this bring any good? But, you know, there is a principle that anything which is very, very exalted, any goal which is a very high goal, you have to do a sacrifice to get it. Like in yoga exercises, our Sasha can tell us, if you really want the benefit of a good yoga exercise, you need to do it every day, like this one, and 1 month you need to do it, he said, and then you are successful, and then you have no neck pain for the rest of your life. But to do it 1 month, and you have to really invest in it. It means a sacrifice. Anything, if you want to change your energy level, your life level, you can only get there by what is called austerity, a sacrifice. Therefore, today we were sitting there and we wanted to talk about this eco village and what we want to do. And I told the devotees, you can only get there by paying this price to the universe, the sacrifice. Anyone, a good artist, a good musician, had to do sacrifice. If you read the biography of the Rolling Stones, I've read only one page of it, but that was very, very good. What a sacrifice to come on this foolish stage of the world, you know, and get a little novats, you know, a little money or big money. You have to do this as a sacrifice, otherwise you don't go there. The next thing is, when you want to change something and you want to change your life, you might come into an embarrassing situation because your friends and the people with whom you associated on the old energy level and who know you in one way will say, are you crazy? What are you doing now? You know, if you, for instance, if someone enters into a spiritual life, into a spiritual path, he has to change his actions, eat other things, you know, because what you've put in your mouth will really describe what happens in your body and on your whole energy level. You have to do some sacrifice. You have to get up earlier most of the time, you know. You have to not sit in the bath, you know, and drink pivo and all the time and so on and so forth. And usually the old circuits in which you are will revolt after some, what are you doing? Your old belief systems will come and knock at your door. Like I remember, I was a Christian. I was trained as a Christian. You know, my mother was proud. I was always invited for marriages. I would go before the young couple and I would throw the flowers on the way. I was going, and Michael von Appen, my future, you know, future marriage partner. You know, we were always go. We looked like the ideal, young and smiling and always throwing butter to the flowers. You know, and I was a Christian, and I didn't remember. Then I came to Krishna consciousness. And then two things happened. I was attacked from outside and brought into an embarrassing situation. Irena, how do we call this embarrassing? Yeah. You know, where you feel like you know, like a little ashamed, you know, embarrassing, you know. Like it's an embarrassing situation for a person when all of a sudden he passes air. And everyone looks in his direction. He goes, oh my God. He's really there. What to do? It just happened, you know. And so, it's an embarrassing situation. So, I was embarrassed from outside and from inside. Outside it happened that after one marriage, I again had thrown the flowers before the young part, and the organ was going No, that's a Christmas song. It was a marriage song. I have forgot all the songs. And then there was a banquet where we was eating. And I was in the table and I understood, well, I shouldn't eat meat, you know, it's not good. It's these are part and parcels of God, you know. So I just went to the banquet and I just picked out all the salad and the spaghetti and the pizza and the pizza, there was meat on the pizza, so I just thought no one saw me, and I put the meat from the pizza, you know. And then my uncle came. Uncle Uwe, that's the tough uncle, you know. And he said, what's wrong? Why don't you eat lax? You know, lax is a fish, salmon. And why don't you eat? We have the tongue of calves here, you know. And I said, I'm not feeling so well. My stomach is not so good at the moment. And then my uncle attacked me. He said, I heard you are trying to go the spiritual path, and that's why you don't eat like a normal human being. Why do you want to be a vegetarian? I said, my dear, I didn't want to have an argument before everyone. I said, really, it's just health reasons, you know. No. You have a stomach that you can digest nails. Why do you? And then everyone had come around me, all the relatives, all the family. Why don't you eat normal food? You know, you're always so eccentric and, you know, always so useless. And then I had to say it. You know, they were all talking to me and I was so embarrassed and I was just so... Then I said, okay, this is too much. If they want to have the fight, now they can have it. And I said, listen very carefully. They all listened. Fleisch ist Mord. In English, meat is murder. That's why I don't eat meat. and then there was fighting going on. Who says bang, 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 Bible, bang, 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 and we were fighting like anything, you know. Everyone took, you know, it looked like an Asterix and Obelix comics, you know. We were all fighting, you know. Embarrassing situation. The people whom you hold dear, who were with you on one path of your life, they will go against you. Other situation, I also, my own belief structures went against it. I thought after some time I was, my God, Jesus has died for me on the cross and I'm becoming a Hare Krishna. What will Jesus say, you know? What will he, how will he like this? I felt I had done a criminal act by becoming a devotee. Because they tell you, the church, if you don't follow Jesus, you go to hell and all this, you know. And it was so much, I thought it was not in my mind, but it was somehow inside. And I thought, oh, what have I done, you know. He has taken my sins, and then I say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, turn it the other way, you know. I thought like this. I felt deeply embarrassed, actually. I felt very bad, you know. This is to be expected. When you start to choose a new path, you know, the old comfort zone or the old circles in which you have gone, they will protest. But my dear devotees, young and old, convinced and still struggling, the fourth step, if you change, is great relief, Syama said. You will feel, you will turn around and will say, my God, if I would have followed the same path which I was on a little while ago, I would not be here where I am now. I would be at another place. So the dynamics of change are fourfold. You need to know this. You need to do a new action. You need to do a sacrifice in your life. Sacrifice? How do we say sacrifice? Jetva. Jetva, yeah. I was happy that you didn't say stragos, but there is a little stragos also in it, you know. A sacrifice. Jetva.
Jetva. Oh.
You need to do a sacrifice, then you can count upon an embarrassing situation. I did remember when so many people used to know me in Hamburg, and then I dressed in a dhoti the first time I went with a dhoti on the street, you know, and the people, you know, I was part of the Hamburg music scene. I was always going to each musical concert. If I would tell you, I have seen every musical person, Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, everything. I was always listening, jazz, louder, please, louder, you know, and so on, and they, everyone saw, and I was, they were like, They, dhoti looks very unusual for people, you know, and the girls were going like, you know, and I was feeling like, and when you are insecure, you know, then you really get it, bang, 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 bang. If you're secure, you go like, and everyone goes like, yes. Very good. Dobro, dobro, dobro. But then you have already this, then you just go, then everyone will laugh about you and so on. But finally, you just feel so much relief. You feel, I knew the principle, I followed the principle of the path in my life. I changed my route. I just didn't go on in the same road. And you feel like, I'm driving with the most qualified driver. I mean, Gaurahari is really good, and he is not. When he knows, he is other. But Ananda Gopal, just when he drives, I can see in his face already. Are you on the right? Are you sure you're on the right path? Yes, and then I already know he has some. But he just doesn't want to change, you know, because for the moment it's so nice to just keep on going as if you are right, you know. But then you know, but it's so embarrassing if you say no, I'm really lost, you know. Have you noticed this psychological thing, you know? Now, it is good that Ananda Gopal only has this when he's on the road. He's different from all of us. We normal people have it in our life. When we are on the wrong path, we feel... But let's keep on going, you know. Keep on going to the west. I will somehow come and arrive at the east. No problem. Isn't it, Viljana? Somehow we just don't, we know something is wrong. I have not taken care of this. I have not surrendered really. I know I should surrender more. I know it would be good to get up a little earlier to chant my rounds. I just now. And we feel extremely encouraged when we are in a good lecture where we really feel, oh, yes. But when we leave the lecture, we just leave. Oh, I guess very good feeling we had again, you know, very good feeling. But then we go on in the same way. This is our human experience, isn't it, Sundarananda? My dear devotees, there are times in life when you go a certain path which doesn't bring you to your goal, and then you can't change. For instance, when a woman is pregnant, it's really too late to think now, is this relationship a good relationship? There is already holidays, boom, 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 I'm soon coming out, you know, get ready for the action. Nasi Dragi Maika, you know. There are things, or you take on, I want to talk about material examples. You take on, let us say, a huge debt, you know, you become a slave to paying back your debt. You have taken a debt of 50,000 euro, now you have to pay it back, you know. In spiritual life, I wouldn't say there are times which are too late, but, you know, if you constantly hear you should change something and you say no, there is a time when it's very difficult to change. Because what you have done is, you have ignored the super soul who is telling you in the heart where to go. And then the super soul, there is a time when the super soul will become silent. What do you do when you talk to a person? Maybe you should stop smoking, or maybe you should do this. Then no one will talk to you any longer. Or when someone talks to you and you're always, the answer is, I know that, I'm already doing what you talk. The person will one day think, oh, we can't talk to him, better not, let us not talk any longer. So super soul is very much the same. If you ignore the super soul, he will stop talking to you. So let me now come to the end of my little presentation. What happened when I was lost in South India in the jungle? Obviously, I'm still living; otherwise, I wouldn't be here in Lemos. In Lemos, wonderful safe apartment where there are no wolves. You know, this is what happened, my dear devotees. I just ran and ran and ran, and then I started to panic. And then I did something which saved me. I just stopped and said, "My dear Lord, I've lost. Everyone has warned me about these wild. They are not exactly wolves. They are a mixture between wolves and hyenas. Hyena, yeah. They don't brush your their teeth. If they bite you, oh, you get a terrible infection. Hyena, and they. It was known in this area that they have killed many human beings, you know, and I knew this by the sound. I've seen this. I know these things, you know. Then I remember. Then I did something which was very foolish. I'm too embarrassed to talk about it here. Then I knew, okay, I'm lost. I'm not good in directions. I need help. The only help is, which I can get now, the help of Krishna. I must pray now. I was wounded. I had jumped and I had almost broken my foot. There were leeches all over my body. You know, do you know what is leeches? They drink your blood. Hiruts in Hungarian language. Hirut? There are these which go like. They go inside. Yeah, not inside. They stay on the and suck the blood. Oh, not a hirut. I thought it's a hirut. Yes. So. And I just prayed and said, I'm lost, my Lord. Can you please give me some indication? Either something in my heart that I know which direction to go, or can you, best is someone who helps me to find the direction. I remember then I became very peaceful. I said, I've given my, you know, I'm surrendering. I'm really serious. And then I kept walking one path, and then I saw a little cow. And they have these very tiny, in that part of India, they have these tiny cows, not like the Croatian fat cows. It's a very small cow, and also not like the Cebu cow in Vrindavan. They're a little red, and this little cow was going through the jungle, and I immediately knew, where is this cow going at this time of the day? Back to where the human beings are. So I will just follow this cow, and I will move very carefully that the cow doesn't panic like me. And I just followed the cow until I heard the barking of dogs. Woof, 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 woof. And I never was so happy about dogs as I was. Then we were in a little hut in the jungle, and I just embraced all the Indians, the tears in my eyes. Wow, brother Indian, you know, brother Indian. And they said, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Take it. Very good. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. then they looked at me, and everything was full of blood, and you know, they said, cello. One person said cello, and I knew he will bring me to the farm where I was, and he brought me to the farm. You know, he had a machete. No, he said cello, and I said, woo. Problem? He said, shh. Then he went into his hut and he took his machete, and he, you know, they know how to deal with these small problems, you know, and brought me to the farm. My dear devotees, I really think if you want to take a new path which brings you to your goal, you need the strength of Krishna, really, to help you. You know, imagine we would make a computer which would, where we would give all the information about what is the best solution for a certain situation. Imagine you have this disease, then you take this pill, or you have this relationship problem, then you do emphatic listening, you know. You have all the information. Would that be good enough to change to the right way? I don't think so. Because we are, if you get lost in your life, it's not because you don't have the right informations. Informations alone doesn't help you. You need the help of Krishna. Hare Krishna. You need the help of Krishna. And this help of Krishna, it comes very much in your by choosing the spiritual path. Now, I just notice, I feel I should stop here. I have a second part to this presentation, how to contact Krishna and get his help. But I feel if I now start to talk about this, I've already talked about the first part of my presentation. The first part is really, it is your path which you chose, which brings you to your destination. It's not your intention. This is something new for the members of the Hare Krishna movement, because we have heard that intentions are very important, motivations and so on. But today I want to approach the subject that you do need to choose the right path. Otherwise you may have good intentions, but you don't make it to your direction. And I want to just leave you with this one question. Do you think that the path which you have which you are on at the present moment will bring you to your direction, to your destination which you want to go? And make this exercise in all fields of your life. Spiritual field, maybe in your health, maybe in your fulfillment in life, in your relationships. Just go through this. And then when we meet for the next time in Lemos apartment, I think we should have the second part. When you are ready, when you have thought about this. I'm coming back to Zagreb. Oops. We always do the meeting at Tuesday, right, Limo? Could we have it at another time in theory? Like on Thursday, for instance? Because, well, but where are you working at the time? Where are you? So you can be coming. So I will inform Sundarananda maybe, because I think it's a very important discussion. What do you think? It has a very and I have only been able to prepare the ground, and I don't think it's wise now to talk so long. Then we have an information overkill, and you know we just want to go to bed. It's too much information at once. I would also request you to experiment with the four dynamics of change. Action, sacrifice, and then facing an embarrassment, you know, or questions, what is going on, and then you will feel already some relief. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions so far?
I have one question.
Really? Yeah.
How can we see if we are lost? And how to establish where are we?
There's a wonderful red lamp which goes bing, 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 bing. You know, in our car, when we can see, when we don't have enough benzene, there's the thing, it goes like, it looks like a gas filling. This was bing, 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 bing. I always want to ignore it. I say, Gaurari, can't we just go, you know, and we don't have really time to fill in gas. Gaurari says, well, this is, means we have 70 more kilometers. And then after 70 more kilometers, then you are, in German we say, you are dry. That means the car doesn't have benzene any longer. It's dry inside. So the human being also has this bing, bing, bing. But mostly we are like me. We want to ignore it. Can't we just make it without, you know? It's the feeling that something here feels very uncomfortable. Something is not right. But then usually the way we are trained in our Western culture is we want to do something, Prabhupada called it a patchwork, patchwork solution. Yeah. Like for instance, in our car, a solution of this bing, bing, bing would to just take a tissue paper and then some taser and just go. Then you don't have to see it any longer. That would be a solution, but to the signal, you know. Often in our life, we feel, oh my God, where is this going, you know? When we sit in nature, when our attention is not so absolutely absorbed, you know, when we are not so absolutely busy in following our goal, we feel, my God, again you are sick. Again you have ruined this relationship. Again you feel just so uninspired and not connected really. We feel this. Again you have come out of balance. And these are signals, you know, which are there. And then we just say, no, we will do some patchwork situation. I want to give you an example from psychology. Who here, who is the oldest amongst you? Maybe Sasha looks a little old, isn't it? How old are you?
I'm 37.
30, that's young.
Sorry.
Yeah?
40.
40. So now another, how old?
Not yet.
So young?
Not yet.
Yeah. Suvana Bindu? All young people. You know, when you turn 50 like this, then somehow Krishna, you know, then you enter the second phase of your life, and Krishna has made this feeling when you are very strong, that you look around and you ask yourself the question, is everything I did so far all right? It comes with everyone. It's called, in modern terms, the midlife crisis. Have you heard about this? It's not a crisis. It's wonderful. You know, it's you wake up to a situation. But then, you know, what do people do when they have these questions? Is, oh my God, is the relationship all right? And did I get my goals? And so then they go to the doctor and take an injection, a little happiness hormone, you know. Yes, of course. And after that injection, they are very active and so on and so forth. This is typical modern civilization. So you all have this, that there is this feeling that I'm not properly situated. If I compare my life, it's a certain feeling, and you know it. Of course, you have to learn to distinguish this feeling from what we call in our movement, we call being mental. You know, mental is, you just start to feel miserable, you know, and it has no reason, you know. There is also this in the life. But I'm now talking of a reoccurring feeling. What is a reoccurring feeling? It comes repeatedly. Yeah. And then you shouldn't take an injection against this feeling. Or you shouldn't take taser film and just glue it over and think you should know. These are signals which come out of the subconscious mind and which should not be edited and rationalized. Oh no, I'm all right, I'm very all right, you know, and so on. We ultimately, these feelings come when a person is serious in his or her spiritual life. When they come, then the super soul brings out these things. The Lord Paramatma gives out these fears. They're subtle hints which the Lord of the heart puts into your life. You all felt it before you became a devotee, you know, that, oh my God, I should do some serious steps now in Krishna consciousness. It's Krishna who is seeing how you are screening serious, and then he helps. If you are not serious, if you are not sincere, then this voice doesn't come. Sincere is such a good word. It means, it comes from the Latin word sincera. Sincera means without wax. Wax is like a candle. This word was made in Italy when the Romans were ruling, because the Romans were very successful in making battles and in getting, you know, booty. Booty, what is booty? You know, the you get the gold of the other people, you know, the armor, yeah. And soldiers became very rich, and they all built their own little houses with marble. So this, when the Roman Empire increased, this was a big business for the marble industry at that time. And of course, then they wanted, the marble sellers were often cheating. They sold marble blocks which were not pure, which were like carious tooth, but they had put a little wax over it, so it looked quite alright, perfect marble block. Sasha, you follow?
Yes.
So the houses which were made with these cheating marble blocks looked in the winter perfect. But when the sun came, then the wax was melting and was going down. So then one of the, are they called Caesars? There's not, one of the emperors gave an order to the marble industry, sine sera, without wax. You have to make the marble blocks without wax. And if you use wax, then we cut your finger or we cut your whatever, you know, punishment was made. So sincerity is when you don't pretend. You don't use wax, then the super soul can speak to you. But if you pretend, ya sam Caesar, ya sam perfect, you know, then the super soul can't speak to you. It doesn't happen. So if a sincere devotee who has a pure heart, the super soul will speak to him. But a pretender, Krishna doesn't speak to a pretender. Prabhupada once said, Krishna talks to the devotee. He sits with the devotee, but he doesn't speak to a nonsense. Hare Krishna. If you want to also find out if you are on the right path, Philip, just ask people who are close to you. You can say, did you see it? Is everything all right? I did this when I was in Berlin. See, sometimes when I do too much, I tense up a little bit, become a little tense. How do we say tense? Tensio, huh? No. What?
Napito.
Napito, yes. And I know when you are napito and you want to give a spiritual presentation, you just can't reach the heart of people. So I was asking devotees after one presentation, I had this feeling, I don't know if everything is all right. How was it? And what did you think? And one devotee gave me a very nice feedback. He said, you started out very nice, you reached your audience, but then you became a little tense. And when he said it to me, I immediately knew the mistake which I had done. I had become impatient with my audience. It's sometimes a problem which I have. I become so impatient when I see people understand so slowly, you know, and you go like that. So, but that's not good for someone who wants to spread Krishna consciousness. You should be samilasti, and you should not be. So ask Philip, ask, and then you get a good feedback if you ask sincere, you know. But please don't be very, very, very. You are a very sensitive person. Take this lecture in a positive way, Philip. That is, invest in the long-term goals. The long-term goals means you should think every day of Krishna. Not think of material things, but really think of Krishna's pastimes or how Krishna looks, and you know, and you should manmana do something in the service of Krishna where you can really say, this photo I just made for the devotees. I just made this as service. I would, or whatever you do, you know, some service. And then worship Krishna. Maybe have a little altar like Hiroye. Where's Hiroye? Where?
He's working. He had some trouble on a job. With a magazine
workout. Yeah, it's a he's we are in his apartment and we are missing him. I mean, not it's not his apartment, but we are near to his room where the river atmosphere is. Like he has a little altar, and it's nice if every day we do some type of worship of Krishna. You just invest in Krishna, in worshipping Krishna, some puja, if you do this every day, a little puja, a little service, your relationship to Krishna will become very, very nice. It's an investment in the relationship. Every day a little something in relationship to Krishna. It's really powerful. I used to do this. I had a little picture of Radha Krishna. I would always offer an incense every day, every morning, for many years. Maybe I should start again. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. Invest in Krishna, then this is a, and you will see at the end of your life you will go back home in the spiritual world. Start things, in other words, which are very positive, which are just in relationship with Krishna, in your own personal relationship with Krishna. Develop a habit. Do you know that when we said that at the Japa retreat, when you have how do you develop a new habit? You have to do something for 40 days. This is a somehow magical number, 40 days. Whatever you do for a longer time becomes a habit. And to break a habit, you just do something else for 40 days, and then you go for this. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? I see Govinda Nandan has a question. I saw you dancing in Cologne, Biljana, and now I know this. You're dancing to the smooth music, I think. It was a very wonderful, elegant dance, and I think now I know from where this comes. You have this do 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 do. Hare Krishna. Yes, Govinda Nanda.
Somehow in this Western world, it seems that...
This will be the last question, and then we will do something else. Yes.
It seems that it is not difficult to get in this kind of thinking that one close can come and tell, okay, this is okay, or no investment, or...
I want to address this question in a different way, though. I believe we need to find satisfaction in our own self. See, at the moment, I was talking to a devotee disciple who is feeling she should get married, but since several years she feels like this, but she's not getting... I mean, people are interested and they try to start a relationship, but it always breaks at the end, because this devotee has such high expectations in marriage and in the husband. This devotee thinks, my husband should be someone who satisfies all my needs and all my ideas and all my problems and all my life and all my and I'm telling this this Mataji, wonderful person, this is not how the reality works. We are in the material world. No one is perfect here, and no situation can give you satisfaction. You need to find the satisfaction in your heart. It's very important. If you become too dependent on others for your satisfaction, you will ruin every relationship, because you will have impossible and unrealistic expectations. And others will feel, oh, that's too high of an expectation in me. No? You won't find any ideal in this world. Believe me, my dear devotees, you are in the wrong place to find perfection. It's simply not to be found in this world. I'm trying to become healthy since 20 years, but there's... No. I was very healthy 3, 4, 5 years ago. But I'm now trying to become healthy. But there's always something going on. Then the next thing comes. Then the next thing. Then I'm thinking, if I only take care of this one last little thing, you know, then I can fly out of the window. I'm so healthy. And then the next thing happens. In the material world, we can't be... we can't reach satisfaction. And it's good. I read today in the scriptures that the devotee prays to Krishna, Krishna, please show me that this world is not the perfect place to be happy. Imagine how a devotee prays like this. Please show it to me, because I'm still in that illusion that in this world I will meet my perfection. Amazing prayer. Do you remember how we, in our Radha Sharanagati card, we read this? You know, I was shocked. I had the devotees repeat all prayers except for this one, because it was too strong, I felt. You know, we were not yet on the level to pray this powerful prayer. Perfection is somewhere else. So while we are in this world, Govindanandaji, we should learn to find that spiritual perfection within us. It's already there. This is the nice thing about Vedic psychology. I'm now trying to develop a course with the help of Sri Prahlad. It's called The Art of Happiness. I think I have to give it a little different title, because it sounds so cheap, you know. Or, no, it's all right. Who? Dalai Lama. Oh yeah. Do you have it? In English? Maybe I could borrow it from you. Yeah. Only to get some ideas, you know, because this is a good project. I mean, for to present imagine we present a thing, you know, in our Bielyova, you know, in the conference, and the art of complete happiness. You know, everyone thinks, I mean, I have given up on this concept, but if I can learn it somewhere, even if it's the Hare Krishnas, I learn it, you know. Yes, Levon, please let us look for it. Not now, but when we stop, then please let us look for it. And, because I have some very good ideas on how to be perfectly happy. I mean, I'm applying a few things in my life, and when I'm not so stressed out, I'm usually very happy. Have you noticed? I smile a lot, you know, because I'm happy. I'm really happy normally. Govindanandan, your question has to wait for the next thing. We can talk personally. I just want to avoid that it becomes so absolutely scandalously late. We are always going to bed at this is I will become the night swami, you know. This goes on. It's not so. What is the time, by the way? I have 7 o'clock. Is this correct?
49.
Wow! I knew. I had the feeling inside that, my God, it's getting late. And then I looked at my clock because, you know, I am like this. I subconsciously I put my clock already, early. You know, but then I do have some of this feeling. I'm cheating myself with this with this clock. You know, I do it in the night when I sleep. I just turn the thing so that when I wake up in the morning, wow, it's a still time, Bremer. You know, I'm very, you know, when I give this lecture, I'm very. I know what it means if one cheats himself. You know, and. But there's always this little feeling that something should be wrong. Really, it's 7 o'clock on my time here. This is our psychology, you know. What?
It's a
slummy
time.
Well, Prabhu, you were not for the lecture there. It's something else. What it is that we are continuing on our wrong path, you know. Hare Krishna. Although we have a feeling that something is wrong. It must be later. Okay, let us end here. Thank you very much, and please, you have only heard half of the presentation. When I come back from the Serbian summer camp, before I go to the Croatian summer camp, I'm very motivated to talk about the second half, the drugi half. But I will ask you what you have done. You know, if you have changed a few things, if you have some good experiences. The question I leave you with is, are you absolutely convinced that right now you are in all aspects on the right path which will bring you to your destination? Viljana, don't look so shocked. You know, you look like Maladishko, you know. And what could you do, second part, what could you do to choose a better path which will serve you better in your different levels, Damayanti, in your kitchen, in your prasadam arrangements, you know, and relationships, finances, you know, whatever. Hare Krishna. Please tell this question also to Tridasha Roy, you know. We are sometimes just so captured in our attention and we just continue with 200 kilometers an hour on the path. Dobro. I wish you a wonderful prasadam. That's always the right activity, you know, you're always on the right path when you take prasadam. So we will take a little prasadam now, isn't it? Yes. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. I think it's better, a little bit. Yeah, better, because otherwise I will eat it at 2 o'clock in the night. Yeah. And then when I get out there, it's